same sequence, a short backhand volley brings Bobby in, and Bobby's off court, cannot get back. Like a duck out of water.
Runaway volley.
She's really being aggressive. She really moved in on that shot and didn't give him a chance. With somebody of Billie Jean's caliber. I really hope Jack Kramer is watching this and will cement something in his head that women are very, very good tennis players. Certainly a lot better than Bobby Riggs.
Bobby not getting his first service in.
All the women are certainly looking forward to this next point. First serve ball to the forehand side, Jean. Not following your instructions at all.
Oh, and Bobby is grimacing.
He's not very happy. I don't know how his Lady Clairol's...
Double ball!
There he is.
For the first set,
Billie Jean's game. Billie Jean's also walking towards Dennis Vandermeer, who's her coach for this particular match.
Billie Jean King.
I'll tell you right now, I feel this is a culmination of 19 years that I've played tennis. I played since I was 11 years old. I love tennis very much. I wanted it to change ever since I started in the sport. I thought it was just for the rich and just for the white. And ever since that day when I was 11 years old and I wasn't allowed in a photo because I wasn't wearing a tennis skirt, I knew then that I wanted to change the sport.
First of all, you have to have the innate physical talent. But more than that, as you start playing and competing, you realize that more and more the mental aspects are more important as your performance level goes up. Mm-hmm. And I think the most important factor is self-awareness. Understanding yourself, what makes you tick, how do you react to pressure? How do you react when you're ahead in the match? And I think that every champion in any sport that I've ever talked to really has a fantastic sense of self-awareness. I hope to make a big influence at the grassroots level through the Board of Education to help have better budgets for girls. The ratio right now for boys and girls sports is a 99-1 in favor of the boys. And I'd like to help communicate these various facts and have some influence that they'll start having programs and vehicles for girls in sports so they can do their own thing and have fun doing it. I think acceptance is a very big thing when it comes to getting involved in something. Why does a boy get involved in sports? Because he's accepted by his peers. It's the thing to do.
Thank you. You ready?
But in the past, girls have been brought up to be wives and boys have been brought up to be men. And they've always talked about how sports builds character in men. Well, I think it builds character in women, too. I think that I've had a much more fulfilling life because of understanding what it is to win as well as to lose. And it helps you in your other aspects of living.
In 1970, Billie Jean King and seven other women tennis pros staged their own tournament in Houston in protest over the small amount of money the United States Lawn Tennis Association provided for women's tournaments. The new Virginia Slims tournament was run by and for women. The USLTA responded with suspensions and accusations, but the Virginia Slims tournament grew, totally as a result of the lack of responsiveness to them that the women had found in the USLTA. Their first tournament offered $7,500 in prizes. Today, with the help of Gladys Hellman, editor and publisher of World Tennis, the minimum is $25,000. Before the Virginia Slims tournament, the women had no tennis circuit whatsoever, in direct contrast to the established men's circuit. Before, in 1969, Billie Jean earned $40,000 playing tennis. In 1971, the first year the Virginia Slims tour was complete, Billie Jean earned over $100,000. "I'm not money hungry," she stated, "but I cared about the $100,000 figure because it was a milestone for women. We're finally appreciated as athletes." Meanwhile, the USLTA was threatening everything they could to bring the women back under their control. Virginia Slims Cigarettes also wanted the two groups back together. The most detrimental move, however, was made by USLTA when they decided to have their own women's tour. Two of the top women tennis players, Chris Everett and Yvonne Goolagong, not known for their feminism, signed up right away. Because of these two players, the USLTA drew respectable crowds. Primed with renewed confidence, the USLTA again threatened that the Virginia Slims players wouldn't be allowed in Wimbledon and Forest Hills. The women gave in. Some reforms have been won as a result of the temporary separation. The 1973 U.S. Nationals at Forest Hills is the first tournament ever to give equal prize money to men and women.
The Wimbledon tournament, prior to Forest Hills, gave men 2.5 times as much money as women, and prime time hours, even though women have outdrawn the men in audiences.
Despite the fact that the women had to give up their own tour or not play tennis anywhere else, 60 of them have formed the Women's Tennis Association to make sure that they're getting a fair deal. Billie Jean King was elected as their leader.
There's a quote by Simone de Beauvoir she wrote in 1949 I'd like to share. Not to have confidence in one's body is to lose confidence in oneself. It is precisely the female athletes who, being positively interested in their own game, feel themselves least handicapped in comparison with the male. Let her swim, climb mountain peaks, pilot an airplane, battle against the elements, take risks, go out for adventure, and she will not feel before the world that timidity. Okay, that particular statement really means a lot to me as an athlete, and I think is very has a lot to do with the changing position of women in athletics. The changing role of women in athletics and sports is coming about because of several factors. One is that generally the role of women in society is changing, and the role of women in athletics is reflective of their position in the society. Women are pushing for equality, you know, wherever they see discrimination and inequality. The two other driving factors in creating this change are the women physical educators who have sat back for years and seen unequal programs, had a lack of decision making in their programs, less facilities, less money, less pay, and they're saying, if athletics is supposed to be so good and does so much for the individual, why doesn't it do this for women? Why don't we believe it does this for women? Let's do it for women. And the other force that's been particularly helpful as of late is the parents of little girls are getting tired of taking their sons off to Little League baseball games and Pony League football and Biddy basketball and not having anywhere to take the little girls and not having any activities of an athletic nature for the girls other than swimming and gymnastics, usually in most towns. And they are organizing softball leagues for girls, basketball leagues, whatever, and they're also pushing to have their children admitted to the, well, for instance, the Little League program has several suits against it nationwide because women are not allowed in the program. And legally, this now has some standing as federal funding cannot be given to any program, an educational institution, community, or whatever, who discriminates in the use of their facilities, and this includes discrimination against women. And those athletic programs that have been using public facilities are finding that they're not going to be allowed to use them as long as they continue to discriminate and don't let little girls in. And it's causing some real hassles because local chapters are ready to change and allow little girls in, but their national charter won't allow them. The National Little League Association will not allow them to remain in their program if they have girls in. So we have several kind of several Little League chapters that are kind of out on their own now. They're no longer associated nationally with the program. There's also a Miss Softball America program now for little girls all around the country, and they have a national championship, and they're running into a lot of problems getting facilities and so forth, but it's a start. And some of the places in the country are very proud of their girls' participation. In Iowa, they have 15 or 16 high school athletic competitions for women in different sports. So in some places in the country, the position of women in athletics is surprisingly more advanced than we would expect, and in a lot of places it's very, very far behind, but it's changing.
Can you ever see a time when there are going to be women competing against men? And if so, when do you think that will be?
Okay. I'm asked by a lot of people about that. I find some men try and trap me into saying, you know, well, if you really believe in equality, you believe that women should be out there fighting against the men. And I answer them saying, yes, in the long run I do. But at the moment there's a developmental problem, and that women have been denied proper training in athletics. And even when they have the proper training, they don't have the social reinforcement to continue and the social approval. So that at this point it's kind of a moot point to talk about women versus men in the same sport at the same time, except perhaps in non-contact sports. And possibly at the high school level, it would be best to open up non-contact sport teams for males and females on the same team. There are several alternatives to consider in that process. One is the one I just mentioned, where you have a women's team and a men's team, and they each play their games, and their points are added together, and that determines the institution's score on something. That way you get the best of the women and the best of the men. If at this time we were to open up all the sports to men and women equally, I'm afraid we would find the best females would wind up on the men's teams, and then consequently you would never be able to develop the other levels of women's athletics. You know, they would take away the best we've got, and we'd be stuck, and we wouldn't be able to continue to develop more women. It's not a matter of bumping out the males. I think it's a matter of losing out in the long run for ourselves right now. In time, theoretically, yes. There still isn't enough research done that proves to me conclusively one way or the other that those physiological differences that do occur between men and women are sufficient enough to put women at such a great disadvantage that they will not be able to compete equally with men. There are differences that physiologically exist, but what those differences actually mean still hasn't been determined. And some of those physiological differences mean that women are better at some things than men, and we have to learn how to create and develop those kinds of physical activities that women are better at, that women's bodies are suited for. So much of our women's program now is copying the men's program with modified rules and things like that, and we really haven't taken a chance to sit down and look at our bodies and say, this is what our bodies are capable of doing and doing well, and let's develop sports that depend on those kind of things. And in my sport, for instance, I'm pretty proud of my sport because women's gymnastics is different than men's gymnastics. And women's gymnastics has developed expertise that the men don't do. They don't compete on uneven parallel bars. They don't compete on the balance beam. And I don't think they'd look good on them. I know women do. And the stuff that women do on there, the men would be truthfully very afraid to try. Those two fields are designed for women. And in women's free exercise, the requirements for that are such that it's a very creative activity. Men's free exercise is limited to very strict functional kinds of things, you know, do a triple somersault with two twists very precisely. And that's well and good, but it's reaching the point where everybody can do those same tricks. And there's just so many combinations, so many ways to put them together, they're kind of hitting the wall. Women's gymnastics, because it has the element of dance in it and creativity, and you use music with it, means that the field is unlimited. What can be done, the way you can combine things, so that, you know, I see women's athletics has to learn how to combine creative elements in it so we won't hit a brick wall.
Alice, why do you think that women have been discouraged from competing in athletics?
Well, there's a lot of social reasons that were supposedly backed up by great pieces of physiological fact that if a woman competed, she would become more masculine, and that it was dangerous to her reproductive organs to compete, and that it had a bad effect on her growth and development, and she would never grow properly, and one thing and another. And the research that's been done recently just doesn't back this up. Females who compete have less menstrual difficulties than females, women who participate in athletics of some kind, have less menstrual difficulties than women who do not. In terms of childbirth and labor, they have a shorter period of labor time, and they have 50% less chance of the possibility of difficult labors or cesarean sections. And this you know, from some people's kind of general viewpoint, that's not the way it should be, because the female athlete would be likely to have a smaller pelvic area, and that would logically mean more difficulties in childbirth, but it doesn't, because they're in better general condition, and that they maintain that general condition of superior fitness for up to 5 years after they stop competing or participating in an activity. As far as damage to the internal reproductive organs, that's kind of a bunch of baloney too. The uterus is well protected against shock, and it's cushioned and everything for jumping around and all that kind of stuff. And it's probably better, it is better protected than the male organ for athletics. And that's not anything that's ever stopped the males from competing. So the physiological evidence just doesn't back up that it's not safe for women to compete. And they are psychologically, at this point, better suited to competition than men are. They handle it better than men do. They don't get as upset. You know, the idea being that competition is good for you, it lets out your aggression, one thing and another, is countered by many people in physical education, that it creates aggression that wasn't there. But in women, it is an approved, an acceptable level, a way to release aggression, and it's proved that women do that better. They get along better with the results of their competition than the men do. Some other interesting things that have been done are some personality studies on athletes. They are generally more intelligent than their non-athletic sisters, and they're more independent, which I think is kind of a reflection of how they got to be where they are. They kind of had to say, and had to be able to say, go away, I'm going to do what I want, to have gotten to the level that they are in athletics, because of the social conditioning that, well, maybe you're not all right if you're into competition, or it's not the best thing for a woman. So they can really have to be kind of independent to get where they are. Some of those personality traits that are associated with athletes probably exist in them before they get too involved with their sport, rather than develop as a result of the sport. But certainly competition for a woman is going to make her more self-reliant, more confident. She has to, or she can't withstand what it means to compete and be out there on your own. So it's really good in terms of development of your body image and your general confidence. Not to have confidence in one's body is to lose confidence in oneself. It is precisely the female athletes who, being positively interested in their own game, feel themselves least handicapped in comparison with the male. Let her swim, climb mountain peaks, pilot an airplane, battle against the elements, take risks, go out for adventure, and she will not feel before the world that timidity.
The preceding show has been produced by Radio Free Women, Incorporated. This program in its entirety, or portions thereof, may not be used without the written permission of Radio Free Women, Incorporated, Washington, D.C.